I'm Tom Rosamilia, the Senior Vice President of IBM Systems, and I welcome you all back from lunch. Hopefully you had good discussions at your networking lunch. I want to tell you about the profound changes we've made in systems, and Ginny started this discussion earlier this morning. This is a radically different business from where it was a couple of years ago. I want to show you some of the bold moves we've made and some of the results we've seen so far, and then we'll hopefully answer the storage question on what we're about to do. So for systems in 2015, we reversed a couple of trends. You can see that we grew to $9.5 billion. This was on the back of growing mainframes by 35%, double-digit each quarter, and growing power by 4%. First time in 4 years we've grown power. And we grew 8% in the fourth quarter. And we grew PTI and delivered a respectable $1.7 billion. Now, how did we do that? Transformation, bold moves. New capabilities for cognitive workloads. I will tell you, and hopefully we can discuss further, power is the engine of cognitive. It is really what makes things go fast. Power plus our open power partners. And delivering into the cloud ecosystem. Engaging new clients with new workloads. We delivered the Z13 in January of last year. We just refreshed that with the Z13S a couple weeks ago. And Linux, we'll talk about that. Replacing spinning disk. This is an industry trend Ginny hinted at, which is spinning disk is in decline, especially high-end. Flash is where it's at, and we're moving. We're making bold moves into flash and displacing competitors with software-defined storage. Much more of this is about software-defined, whether it's on-prem or in our soft layer data center. Managing unstructured data with object-based storage. I'll show you a chart on storage and where we think those growth areas are. Delivering a very viable alternative to x86 with open power. We divested of microelectronics, a big move to GlobalFoundries. We completed that last year, an important part of our transformation to relying on industry standard fabrication capabilities, divesting our microelectronics manufacturing capabilities, and delivering solid PTI in 2015. Now, growth opportunities are a part of our business, and I want to show you where we see the pools of growth, because flash storage is growing at 9%. So while spinning disk is in decline, flash is growing. It's a $14 billion business, CAGRing between 15 and 19 by 9%. Private cloud infrastructure, as defined by IDC, which is really a combination of hybrid plus private, is at 13% CAGR, $13 billion opportunity. Linux servers is the fastest growing platform out there, growing at 6%. By having greater participation in Linux, it makes a big difference. And the hyperscale data center market, depending on who you listen to, has some outstanding growth, 14% CAGR. So making sure I have the right arms to play into the hyperscale market, and I'll show you what we're doing, and Doug Balog will show you some more. Now, I mentioned mainframe. Z13, we launched it last year. We had 500 new patents in the Z13. 2.5 billion transactions per day built for mobile. Full-time encryption, so highly secure. We actually delivered 450 of these last year, installed them in 150 clients. We're reasonably pleased by the refresh cycle that's out there, and in addition, we got 50 new clients. Standard Bank is a good example of this, largest bank in South Africa. They're replacing their banking, their online banking environment. So their core banking has been running on Z, or Z in their parlance. Now they're doing their next generation infrastructure on a combination of ZOS and Linux. They've got their app servers running on Linux, or they will have them. And they've got GDPS, or a clustered environment, so that they can continue to deliver high availability. Linux One was a brand new thing we delivered last year. Now, 15 years ago, I made the decision to put Linux on the mainframe. And I'm glad we did it back then, because we see that about 40% of our clients have Linux installed on their mainframe. And about 81 of the top 100 do. But this Linux One is about a Linux-only machine. And a good example of that is the Met Office. So we talk about weather and how important it is in feeding other forms of data. But these guys did an evaluation of where should they run their information, where should they run their processing, and they decided to buy a Linux One system with a number of different databases running on it, like Postgres and Maria and Mongo, as you can see from the demo back there, right over there in the corner. Mainframe momentum, 50 new clients last year. We grew MIPS 33%. And while Arvind's going to talk about blockchain, and Ginny and several others already mentioned it, I want you to know that blockchain makes a lot of sense on Z. Because not only because of it is the system of record and we run a lot of transactions today, but also because of the accelerators we have built into Z, the large cache size, it's a perfect marriage for blockchain and Z for the future. Now, storage. This is really the one I want to major on to answer Tony's question. So the flash business, we saw the growth rates here. We went out and decided not to miss a trick this time, because in the transition from block file, we were behind. We didn't catch that wave. And therefore, when others were growing and spinning disk, we were not. It was a bad mix. We had the slow growth or the no growth stuff, and the other guys had the high growth stuff. So we decided in this case, let's not miss this trick. So we made an acquisition in 2012 of Texas Memory System, and we've seen double-digit growth ever since. This is a great technology. We surveyed the market. We picked the best out there, and we've seen the results of moving into flash, which is a high-growth part of the business. 940 new clients in 2015. Software-defined storage is another big part of this, and our brand is Spectrum. By the way, we're number one in software-defined storage. This is managing lots of different storage devices, ours and others. And we've got great examples of how we've displaced EMC as an example, like at the Pelephone, which is the Israeli mobile provider, the first Israeli mobile provider. They were able to displace 13 EMC boxes with 3 XIV plus our software-defined storage, saved an incredible amount of floor space and money, $1.5 million. And consolidated onto our storage with our software-defined storage. Object storage, you saw it on Robert's chart. This is the highest growth area we've seen in this business. Object storage is supposed to grow between 15 and 20 at 38% CAGR and will be a $21 billion business by 2020. That's huge. That is a huge business for us. So we went out in the marketplace, Robert and I, and surveyed and found the number one object storage provider out there, CleverSafe. We bought them. It runs on-prem, it runs off-prem. You saw in the video briefly a guy named Mark Kelly, Hogarth or WPP. They're a WPP subsidiary. And he talked about locating, we were just at an interconnect, and he spoke right before I did. He's locating his ad videos in different parts of the world in a hybrid model and stored within Object Store. Now, what things are good for Object Store? Anything that's unstructured, anything that's big. Video, medical images that need retrieval, right? Genomic data. All this data fits into Object Store, which is why, given the growth of video and the growth of genomic data, that's what drives the $21 billion market opportunity. So we got the number one provider, and Hogarth has a great story about how they're using it to serve ads from all over the world in their hybrid environment. So really good examples of displacing spinning disk at UF Health with our flash. Examples of replacing competitive storage with our software-defined, and examples of replacing or using, in their case, choosing to use Object Store to store their large files. Now, power. Huge transformation started 2 years ago. We made a pivot. We were winning the Unix wars or battles and losing the server wars, so we pivoted. I made the decision to change to embrace Linux, which we could have done all by itself. We made the decision to embrace open and a licensing model that said we're going to go for an ecosystem of partners and we're going to be willing to license our technology to third parties. Google was one of the first drivers of this. We were talking briefly at the PET over there about NVIDIA and GPUs and accelerators. They were one of the first 5 members of this group because they all saw this vision of an open ecosystem, a platform, if you will, around open power. Google saw it as a way to build Lego blocks and assemble them for the different workloads that they had. That's why they've been driving this innovation for 2 years. That's why they've been leading the Open Power Foundation for 2 years. And that's why they ported their software to run on power. And they love the combination of accelerators like NVIDIA and Xilinx FPGAs. But we have now 180 members, plus members of the Open Power Foundation, 2 years later. Lots of countries, 6 continents. To me, the 30-plus hardware and technology providers is a big deal because this is what drove the Googles and the others of the world to say it's not just going to be from IBM. We're going to be able to buy servers from others with power, powered by Power8, which you can do today. But we've also now taken the step of licensing the technology, which Doug will talk about. So with that, hopefully you can see the transformation we've made around what we've done in our mainframe for mobile and analytics, what we've done in our storage portfolio going after the high growth areas. And I don't mean that just from an R&D perspective, but from our go-to-market perspective and our partnerships as well. And a huge transformation around power and what we're doing to fuel the cognitive era. And with that, I'd like to bring up Doug Balog, who is the General Manager of IBM Power Systems, to take you through what we've done with power and open power. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Tom. So good afternoon. As Tom mentioned, I've had the chance to lead this transformation of our power business over the last couple of years. And we certainly think a bold set of moves, as Tom described, to completely open this up to new markets. Now, before I jump into that transformation story, let me just sort of ground this in the trends we see in the marketplace. First off, on the left side. On the left side, you see some fundamental changes in technology that we're facing. And certainly while Arvind and the research team continue to drive to 7-nanometer technology and more, certainly the thing I've grown up with in the whole IT industry, that assumption of the processor itself will deliver twice the performance every 2 years, Moore's Law, we have to find new ways to innovate on top of the processor. We have to find new ways in terms of new memory architectures, new flash technology, integrated software, and acceleration. These are all core to creating an ecosystem, an open ecosystem, under which the cognitive era will drive, get the performance it needs. So jump to the right side for a second. So what are those sort of demand side drivers? You've heard a lot about cognitive. Cognitive needs memory. Cognitive needs performance. This is very thirsty workloads, as you heard Don and others describe, that drive a different need for architecture. So that's one driver. The other is this point around the cloud. For power to participate in the cloud wants openness. Hyperscale data centers want new business models by which they consume this technology. And so we needed to make not only changes in the design point of power, but changes in the business model as well, too. So now let me talk about the transformation story. As Tom said, we pivoted in our power business 2 years ago around 3 points. First off, big data, analytics, and the cognitive era. These are workloads that fully utilize the better memory bandwidth, the better threads, the better technology we build into power for this consumption of data. We pivoted around this point of getting power deployable in the cloud, not just the private cloud, not just the public cloud, but the connection of those worlds in hybrid. And finally, both of those are underpinned by this need for openness. And we made some significant pivots there. Pivots around supporting open standards, of course, but more than that, supporting open source software, open stack for that hybrid management, and open power, as Tom just talked about. Going from 5 members, IBM, Google, NVIDIA, Mellanox, and Tyan, to now well over 180. And as I was telling some folks, by the way, every time I give you the number's wrong, because new members join every day around this move around openness. So let me start with the underpinning of openness and go into each of these in a little bit more detail. First, as Tom mentioned, it's more than just about Linux and open source software. Yes, that was crucial for IBM Power to participate in that $9 billion market Tom described. We have hundreds of thousands of open source packages. We have thousands of ISVs, dozens of solutions. In fact, you heard about the Swift announcement on servers here just a little bit earlier today. Within 48 hours of Swift being available for servers, we had it ported to Power and available in GitHub. That's the speed of which new applications are being developed, and now Power can fully participate in that. But we didn't stop there. We said, let's go beyond that in terms of openness. Let's completely open up the platform back to what cognitive needs to get performance. It needs a community. No one single vendor should control the innovation agenda for servers. We needed a community of innovators. Cognitive demands it. So where do we see wins at? We see wins in the U.S. national labs. See wins at Oak Ridge and Lawrence Livermore, consuming not only power technology, but power plus accelerators, power plus GPUs, power plus I/O accelerators from Mellanox. So this was critical to the wins we see in this space. But it wasn't just one win, very large one, by the way, in the national labs. It was wins across the world in Gentry in France and Hartree in the UK and others. So this combination of openness is giving us opportunities to bring that technology to deliver acceleration of an order of magnitude better than what they have today. Let's talk about monetization for a second. So I've just described in the win of Coral in the National Labs how we were able to partner with our innovation ecosystem, bring that into our portfolio, and then deliver a solution to a client. Obviously, having others in the industry innovate around power gives us incredible choice of technologies to bring into our portfolio and provide to our direct clients. But there's other new business models here. Business models in terms of licensing the IP, the intellectual property of power. Some would say very similar to what ARM processors have done for the mobile space, we've done for the enterprise space. Secondly, it creates monetization opportunities in terms of selling chips, something we hadn't done before. And in the hyperscale data center space, they have each their own design point. They have each their own supply chain partners they use. But the idea of selling power chips to those system builders, those 30-plus system builders Tom talked about, to sell to the hyperscale cloud, gives us new routes to market for our technology. So hopefully this gives you a sense for how we're monetizing this open power innovation, this open power ecosystem we've created. Now, let's talk about how it gets used, right, in cognitive. But let's start on the left in terms of big data and analytics. It's more than just the integration of data and in-memory databases. It's layering on top of that the analytics. And as I mentioned, we see time and time again in all the databases and all the analytics workload that now runs on the Power Platform, a 2x performance benefit versus Intel. 2x. Who wouldn't want twice the performance at a better price performance point? But we didn't stop there again. We said cognitive demands much more. You've just heard great stories, whether it be healthcare, IoT, or other uses for cognitive. Cognitive demands acceleration. It's thirsty for memory, as I said. It's thirsty for compute. So again, leveraging our acceleration portfolio and the Open Power Foundation, we're able to bring together that combination for the cognitive era. A customer success story, UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, near and dear to my hometown just outside of Pittsburgh. $12 billion integrated healthcare firm, 20-plus physical hospitals, 4 million clients, or I guess folks they serve on an annual basis. Clients, wrong choice of words, right? Patients, thank you, patients. UPMC was looking at their next generation integrated data. They wanted to take, as we talked about, electrical medical records and start to marry that with video, with pictures, with more around their patients. They chose IBM Power with IBM Big Insights, Hadoop, to bring that all together into an integrated source of data for a better client, better patient experience. Better patient experience. Now, they're not stopping there. They want to continue to integrate more, including cognitive. So this is a great example of bringing our IBM software and hardware portfolio around big data and analytics. But this industry also requires partnerships. SAP, as you may know, has a very large, tens of thousands of clients out there in the world, and they have been very clear as a company, the shift they're making to HANA as an integrated database and S4 applications on top of that. Opening up the Power Platform gave us an opportunity to work with SAP around HANA. Let's listen to a video from Kyle, their SVP, Managing Director of Alliances. You could roll the video, please.
We're really excited about the market adoption of IBM Power Systems on HANA. We've seen just a fantastic reaction from customers, the performance they've seen, the ability to create business value out of this technology. We couldn't be more happy with the market response from our customers. SAP has made a significant investment in the development of IBM Power Systems, which gives us skin in the game because we believe in the technology. In December, we announced virtualization capability for IBM Power Systems on HANA, which enables a customer to run 4 different instances of HANA on one IBM Power System. So rather than buying lots of different systems to run multiple applications of HANA, the capability is there to enable you to do that with one system for simplicity. IBM Power Systems and SAP HANA together create tremendous differentiation for our customer base to help them run their business in real time. We are absolutely thrilled with the response to the IBM Power Systems and SAP partnership. Our customers have adopted this technology since we've launched it, and they're using it and creating real business value.
So as Kyle was describing, the benefits HANA sees on power are similar to what I've been talking about. They see double the performance, they see benefits from virtualization, and they see enterprise clients who are looking for the benefits that IBM and SAP can bring together to transform their client set. I think it's a great example of how we're bringing this new technology to the market. Now, let me start to wrap up with cloud. Again, we couldn't just stop at getting the workloads. We had to, of course, have Power participate in the cloud. Hybrid, we have this phenomenal install base of Power clients around the world, second only to the mainframe in terms of the systems of record, that final version of data truth, that final version of transactions that takes place. Allowing and enabling those clients to reach to the cloud, the hybrid cloud as a destination, was critical for the Power platform. And we've done that, as Robert talked about, through consistent tooling, through OpenStack technologies, to bring together and connect that public cloud world with that private cloud deployment. Secondly, though, we needed to participate in the hyperscale cloud space. We needed to allow customization in this modular, everybody's got their own different operational characteristics to deliver what they view as value to their clients. This is where the Open Power Foundation became so critical to enabling Power, whether it be IP licensing, whether it be chip cells, or whether it be IBM systems, to fully participate in the hyperscale cloud space. Now, as Tom mentioned, we got a lot of help and coaching from our partner in Open Power, Google. But they weren't alone in this. Beyond the 180 members of the Open Power Foundation, we've got cloud companies like OVH, a very large cloud company in Europe. We've got cloud companies in the US like Rackspace. And we've got technology partners like Canonical and Ubuntu, kind of the Linux distro, very pervasive in the cloud. So there's technology, there's partnerships, and there's things we had to do to enable Power to participate in hybrid, but also in the hyperscale public cloud. So that's what we've done in the Power story. We've completely pivoted, as Tom said. We've made some bold moves around openness of Linux and the Open Power Foundation. We positioned Power for the cognitive era, big data, analytics, and the need for accelerators to deliver cognitive, and we positioned Power to participate not only on-premise, but in the public cloud and connecting those worlds together as a destination with hybrid. Now, all of that yielded 4 quarters of growth last year. First time, as Tom and Ginny mentioned, in 4 years. So progress. But of course, as we know, progress never ends. And so let me go back to where Tom started, across the whole systems portfolio. We continue to transform boldly this portfolio, not only around Z, not only around flash storage and software defined, but to continue this journey we've started on Power to continue to deliver what clients demand in the marketplace from the high-value systems that IBM provides. So that's our story.